This podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Barbara. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you so much for being here.
What a wonderful conference this is. It gets bigger every year.
It's really a wonderful place, and I'm really proud of the work we've been doing here. So thank you so much for being here, and thank you for chairing the session earlier today about the fantastic progress being made under Dr. Gottlieb's leadership at the US FDA. You know, I sat in on the session, and I know that our goal was to bring together thought leaders, including people from industry and venture capital and FDA, talk about the progress that we're making. And so I was pretty impressed, and I'd like for you to just start off, if you don't mind, by giving us a little summary of the topics that were discussed.
We had a star-studded group. We had Sandy Milligan, who's Senior VP of Regulatory Affairs and Drug Safety at Merck. We had Kathy Hibbs, who's legal counsel for 23andMe. And we also had Dr. Doug Cole from
Flagship Pioneering.
Yes, that's it. So what they really had to talk about is looking at the current environment at FDA. Scott Gottlieb's been the commissioner for the last 400 days, and we wanted to see how people from different perspectives were thinking about how was the agency doing. And the bottom line was everybody thinks that the agency is leaning in, that they're really looking at being progressive in driving innovation, but yet really thinking about how it impacts the patient. And so they really felt like there's a great deal going on.
That's exactly what I heard. And I heard that there were a few different theaters that got us to this point. So could you share some of those instigators, if you will, that made us arrive at this new generation, new horizon for the FDA?
You know, I think people feel as though FDA has been working on leaning in for a while. And I think there are a lot of good ideas that started several years ago. But when Dr. Gottlieb came in as head of the FDA, he was able to, from the top, really give permission to think differently. And so you can see that through the pre-certification program that's happening at CDRH. You can see it in the reorganization of OND. That started before he arrived, but he has given it his blessing. And there's really a great deal of progress happening where you may have the agency organized in a different way to try to move experts into the right place to improve reviews.
That was one of the main points that I got out of it too, is that there's a lot better clarity around the roles of the key leaders and how the leaders are delegating as well to other experts within their organizations, as well as the fact that DIA has brought on more experts in important areas of thought leadership, and that's really facilitating the interaction between FDA and sponsors.
Yeah, I think the FDA, one of the things that they're really looking at is how do they make sure that experts can work across silos in order to advance innovation quickly, to bring the expertise to bear. And so that is giving a little more flexibility on that front. There's also an effort to have FDAers, especially the head of the divisions, be more outwardly focused towards stakeholders. And so they've had to implement some IT improvements to try to streamline just the process of getting an application through so that they have time to actually do what's really important and interact with the stakeholders.
And picking up on the point around interaction with stakeholders, one of the things we talked about was the inclusion of patients. Could you talk a little bit for the audience about how the FDA has really been very proactive in bringing patients into the regulatory review process?
Patient-focused drug development and the Patient Voice Initiative started under, you know, the last several legislative initiatives, but they continue to refine what is that role for the patient and where should the patient engage. There was just a recently, I think it was an 86-page draft guidance that kind of came out to try to help understand how do you get the patient involved in the drug creation process. And so each step, they're really trying to engage the patients to get their perspective so that FDA can understand the risk-benefit analysis as they're moving forward with approvals.
I thought that was really interesting, and I had the opportunity to take a look at the early guidance and looking forward to the other three that will follow. I think it's a really important contribution that the FDA is making to industry, and also I think there will be a lot of learning from it that will be useful to other parts of the world. So you mentioned benefit risk, and I automatically thought about the conversation with our venture contributor. And I thought that discussion around really how we should be seeing the future of innovation and how more transparency about FDA decision making would weigh into decisions being made by venture capital firms. So could you elaborate a bit on that?
Sure. Doug Cole was really, I thought, very thoughtful. He really talked about how he needs to invest in a company or to create a company is he wants to understand where the risks are. And he wants as much clarity, whether it's a regulatory pathway or how the agency looks at things. So as FDA is releasing, they've released a huge number of guidances over the last year. As they continue to do that, that helps people who want to invest in new technologies really understand where the guardrails are. So I think that's very helpful. But the other piece that I thought was really interesting is when we talked about FDA's role in drug pricing. I think most of the people on the panel thought that there's an appropriate role for FDA to take steps to try to streamline the regulatory process in order to drive down the cost of creating drugs and bringing drugs to market. However, he did say that there would be a dark cloud over the industry if FDA started weighing into what the specific drug prices were. And I thought that was a nice distinction because I think that's where most people fall out. It's great to make sure that there's more competition and there all of those, you know, requirements, but I think that's, he drew an interesting line.
I thought so as well. And I think that the idea of clarity being applied to investors to really help fuel that innovation engine that's so important to healthcare was a really interesting conversation. I hadn't really thought about it that way, but if you think without that kind of clarity, I've been concerned about what will happen with respect to some of these startup companies, particularly as the technology has advanced so much and we need to develop new regulatory pathways for new materials and so on. So I really appreciated that discussion.
Well, I think where he's really pointed out a couple areas where clarity would be helpful is in the microbiome, in gene therapy, in the CAR-Ts. It's an area where I think he didn't mention it, but another area is combination products. How is FDA going to deal with leaning in, all the centers leaning in together? So I thought he brought up some very good points.
Mm-hmm. The other topic that I found really fascinating was this topic of the Twitter universe and how the rapid provision of thoughts and direction coming from the FDA is causing some challenges for the industry. So could you elaborate on that?
I thought that was really funny. It's almost industry feeling like they're really fortunate to have this challenge. Most people that I've talked to, and this panel reflected it, they really do believe FDA is heading in the right direction and more information and more clarity is really positive. But when you get an onslaught of guidances happening, it takes a little time for everyone to understand, to be able to comprehend it and take it. And I think one of the big challenges has been kind of policy development by tweet. Even Sandy Milligan admitted that she now has a Twitter account so that she can listen to Scott Gottlieb. It really has gotten people into a very quick news cycle. And so you have to be able to respond to it very quickly in the regulatory intelligence space. And I think some people may feel as though they need to beef up their staff in order to keep up with the agency, which is a great situation to have.
Absolutely. And getting policy-oriented snippets in 140 characters is a little difficult because you have to think about what the inferences are of those individual tweets. So it'll be a very interesting future world. So kind of coming down to the end, Nancy, with your work, and I know you've been doing this for a long time, what do you think we will be seeing in the future of drug development under Dr. Gottlieb? He's in his first 400 days. There's a long road ahead of him. And so what are you imagining?
I had an opportunity to talk to him a couple weeks ago. And one of the things that he said is, I don't know if I'm here for 5 years, if I'm here for 5 months, or if I'm here for 5 more days. So I think you're going to see the same sense of urgency to move things forward throughout his tenure. And I think he is very energetic. I think he has people at the agency very energetic. So I think they've been very innovative, and that is fantastic. I think as the panel reflected, there's still some areas where people would like to see them be even more creative, and I think that's some of the areas would be like the combination product area, where you have different standards established for whether it's a drug or a device, and those products that cross over. And so I think as he keeps running forward with all the, I mean, they have done a lot of public-private partnerships. They are doing some really innovative pilots. I think that will continue. I just hope that the FDA staff can keep on going, because it really is, it's an exciting time for FDA.
It is, and I think it's fair to say that with every new leader, they're jumping on the treadmill with many things that were started before them. He has the opportunity to put his own signature on it, but my sense from the panel is that people are pretty happy and excited about the direction that the FDA is going, and let's hope that it continues being positive for patients. So thank you so much for being here and for leading in the panel, and we'll look forward to more days of exciting discussion. Thank you.
Thanks, Barbara.
To learn more about this topic, visit us online at diaglobal.org.